This is Being Healthy with Dr. Christian Bramwell, discussing all things health, fitness, and wellness.
And welcome to the podcast, guys. So just for my podcast, I'm just trying to bring a little bit of humor and levity to health and health-related subjects so that I can educate y'all and keep y'all entertained. So knowing that, let's get started. So let's start off with, I usually like to answer some questions on Quora. Just to take, you know, what my actual audience is asking, because I always like educating my audience on health-related topics. So let's go with the first question. This one is from Yusuf. So Yusuf asks, what tips would you give to a vegetarian craving meat? All right, Yusuf. So for me, I've had this problem myself. Multiple times I've tried to go on the vegetarian thing myself, but just never been able to stick to it just because I'm always craving that meat. That bacon on that burger, that extra meat-filled pizza. Just can't get away from it. But as far as from tips that I've heard that worked, one of my good friends, he is fully committed to the vegan vegetarian lifestyle. For him, he just pretty much just makes it not an option to eat any meat. So by that, he avoids meat in his house, and he avoids most places that serve meat. So no, he doesn't go to McDonald's or Burger King as much. So it was just getting rid of the stimulus of meat from your house and just away from where you go. And besides that, it's just a matter of discipline, brother. As I said, it's a lifestyle that you're going to have to want. All right. So that was Yusuf. So let's go on next. Let's see who we got yet next. All right. Let's answer Godfrey. So Godfrey from Quora asks Dr. Bram, How much does the time of the year affect your well-being and health? Good question. So there is this thing called seasonal depression. So for y'all don't know, seasonal depression is usually something experienced by people living in northern climates. Because living the more northern you live, the less sunlight you get per year than, say, living closer to the equator, as well as colder temperatures. And that combined itself can cause a lot of seasonal depression. So I would say during the winters or late August is when a lot of the time the actual mood and time of the year can affect your health the most. For me personally, I'm from sunny Florida, Tampa, Florida, and I'm living in the North Hills of Georgia in Augusta. I really don't have the problem too much with seasonal depression. So if you're living in those climates and your mood's feeling a little down, just be on the lookout for that and make sure you talk to your health provider about that. All right, Godfrey, thanks for the question. Let's see who we got next. Who we got next down here? All right, here we go. Here's a little interesting question. So this is from R. Raffi. So R. Raffi asks Dr. Bram, how do people who have cardiac arrest while being strong, fit, and healthy? That's a good question, my friend. So I'm assuming you mean strong, fit, and healthy, like they don't have any diseases or taking any medications from any disease. So how does, you know, an in-shape, like, you know, 30-year-old bodybuilder just have sudden cardiac arrest? Easiest two things. Number one would be what we call a hypertrophic heart or an enlarged heart. And a lot of demographics, by demographics, I mean people with the genetic predisposition to have bigger hearts. It's going to be passed down. And that's one of the most common causes of sudden cardiac death, especially in someone who's young, fit, and healthy. And usually to get rid of that, usually they would either have to get it screened out. That's the purpose of having these sports physicals. So it's not just for us doctors to make a little extra bread on the side or just an excuse to do more paperwork. No. The point of it is to make sure that we screen out for stuff like this as well as other things like, you know, asthma and other things to make sure that it can be diagnosed and treated when kids are young. So that's one thing. The second other thing is that they're juicing. That's the thing I'm automatically thinking right off the top of my head, because there's no reason anyone who's 30 or 40 should be dying of a sudden cardiac arrest. That's like something your 70-year-old with 18 different heart attacks with open heart surgery usually dies of, not a young person. And the thing is, with chronic steroid uses, there are a lot of side effects. So what are the common side effects? You know this one. Juice rage, these muscle heads just get angry, mood swings, depression, that's one. Increased hair growth and acne are a couple of other ones. So remember, if you see someone having acne in your local gym and they're pretty buff, they might be juicing.
Another side effect of it, now going to the more chronic long-term use, it can cause problems with your sperm development. So it can cause hypogonadism, or pretty much your testicles are going to shrivel up a little bit because you're not getting as much natural hormone from your brain because you're taking it all from the steroids. So that's one side effect. But what has to do with this heart is that when you use steroids for a long time, it can what we cause a dilated heart, or your heart just gets all bigger and floppy. When that happens, your heart has a terribly difficult time pumping against a normal blood pressure, or, you know, pumping blood to the organs that receives it. And that puts a lot of stress on the heart. And with that being built up over time, and they're already exerting their heart to a tremendous degree, that's one thing that can also cause cardiac death. So young people, a young fit person that has sudden cardiac arrest, either they have a genetic heart disease, a genetic heart problem or heart disease, or they are using steroids. So those are the two things I would say about that. But good question, Nar. I got into a little bit of working out knowledge. But by the way, guys, highly, highly advise against steroids. They're not good for you. Trust me.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
With that fit and healthy in people passing away from heart attacks, the keto diet is gaining more and more popularity, and it's a high-fat diet. Does that ever play a part in that, or I guess is there a way to do keto right where you don't have to worry about, I guess, the fat being a bad thing for you?
Good question, my friend. So usually with the keto diet, like the biggest thing is, of course, it's low carbohydrates, high protein, high fats. Now, the thing, I understand what you're talking about, because you said the high amount of fats in your body, if you have a high amount of bad fats, so a lot of bad, you know, saturated fats, trans fats, that builds up in your arteries and can cause, you know, atherosclerosis or plaques that form in your blood vessels that can, you know, break off and cause a stroke or heart attack, a bunch of this stuff. However, if you do the keto diet properly, there are two things that should, well, I'll say this. There are two things that you should be doing in your keto diet. Number one, clean sources of fats. So just because you're on the keto diet doesn't give you permission to eat two sausage patties in between a bunch of cheese and butter. You know what I mean? No, it's not how it's supposed to be done. You get good quality fats. So, of course, your lean meats, chicken, most notably, turkey, fish, beans are going to be your big clean protein sources. If you're doing a lot of those, you're going to get a lot of the good fats. Those are the unsaturated fats, the monounsaturated fats. These are the good fats. These are the ones that'll take that bad fat out your blood vessel and put it into your liver, where it's much safer. So that's one thing. Make sure that the sources of fats that you're doing in keto are clean. And the second thing that I would have to say to make sure you're doing keto correctly, make sure that you are eating a decent amount of carbohydrates. You know what I mean? Our carbohydrates are the basic source of energy for our body. Our body uses glucose the most easily. Carbohydrates are mostly glucose and complicated forms of glucose. So make sure that you are getting some carbohydrates, but again, make sure they're high quality carbohydrates. So carbohydrates that are high in fiber. And then the ones that are high in fiber, usually your whole grain, whole wheat grains, veggies, and fruits. So if you're eating good fats from your keto diet, you shouldn't have to worry about it building up to causing any bad consequences. In fact, it should help you.
Okay.
What do you think about that? Do you think like a lot of people like go overboard on the keto diet in the wrong way? Like, you know, they're just eating like, you know, beef jerky, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Or like, do you feel like the people are doing the keto diet correctly from what you've seen?
Well, what I've seen with mostly what I've seen about keto is from social media and what people are talking about they're doing or coaching people to do. Mm-hmm. There was one guy that I saw that was telling people it's okay to eat pork rinds because it's fat. There's a keto mom or something like that who, you know, talks about giving her kids sticks of butter as a snack because it's fat. And, you know, she doesn't want them to eat anything that's not like fat or protein and that sort of stuff. I mean, it's just not sensible, but at the same time, there's, you know, like the people that are going to your core page and asking questions, that's the sort of stuff that's important to do. And that's really the challenge with any diet. Keto is not necessarily the same as a fad diet or one of those normal magazine diets, but you still have to be really careful because any diet that people are giving out in mass or to, you know, large bunches of people is not going to be really tailored to the individual. So I've seen a lot of stuff with keto where it's basically like, yeah, I've eaten this and then I lost weight, so you should do it. And it's like, that's it. You know, your diet, obviously, you know, as a doctor, your diet is not that simple. It's not just that simple to say somebody else lost weight eating this stuff, so then it's going to be good for you, or it's, or that person is going to be healthy long term, you know, because they lost weight.
I got you. But because of social media, you're right. Like, whatever's on social media that's popular, everyone and their mother's going to do it. You know what I mean? It was like, as I said, like my mom said, she found, like, you know, she did some research and, like, you know, and found like a page on social media that was promoting an anti-inflammatory diet, you know, and she started promoting all these anti-inflammatory foods. So I agree. I definitely do think that you just don't see like any, you know, I feel like you don't see with the keto diet, like them preaching as much as a lifestyle as like a diet. You know what I mean? I hate that term diet. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Saeed? Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's just like so temporary and, you know what I mean, just for a temporary gain. I like to try and make lifestyle decisions because, as I said, like lifestyle, that's something you're going to do for the rest of your life. A diet, I see you doing a diet for like a month just to look good on the beach or to fit into that bikini. Or, you know, personally for me, just to have one less love handle. You know what I mean? That's what I think of a diet. I think with keto, people need to emphasize it's a lifestyle. So you don't need to be, you know, eating less than 10 grams of carbs every day. And for the audience, 10 grams of carbs, that's like a half an Oreo. You know what I mean? So I just think diets like that aren't sustainable. But I think the keto lifestyle is sustainable. Like, would you see yourself trying to live like a more keto lifestyle or maybe like a plant-based lifestyle? Like, have you recently made any changes to your diet in these past recent years with all these growing food trends and popularity things?
Well, so, I mean, I'm always tweaking, I guess I would say, my food lifestyle rather, so I don't say the word diet. But, you know, like after I quit football, I was playing around with different diets and trying to figure out what worked for me. And I found stuff that was, it worked, meaning I lost weight, but it wasn't sustainable. Like I would eat chicken and spinach like 3 times a day, and I would eat like this nasty protein slop for breakfast. And I was like real lean, but it wasn't sustainable because there was no way I was gonna, I did it for like 2 years, and then after that, I've never been able to go back to it. Then my first year of law school.
That was a dark
time. Yeah, and I mean, I look back at those pictures, and I was like super scrawny, and I didn't realize it at the time. But now looking back, it's like, yeah, that was obviously not healthy. Okay. And then my first year of law school. What's up? Real quick,
if I can interrupt you before your law school, like first of all, like you found, so like what do you first feel like? What do you feel like your body type is? Like, so for body types, you know, we have endomorph, mesomorph, mm-hmm. ectomorph, long and skinny, sort of hard to put on weight, mesomorph, mm-hmm. athletic, muscular, sort of in between, endomorph, shorter, stocky, can gain weight really easily, gain muscle really easily. Which body type do you feel like you did, and which diet do you feel like works best for your body type?
Well, for the endomorph can actually be a bit taller, but their waist is generally thicker, like their torso is thicker. So that's what usually sets how you can tell if you're an endomorph is if your torso and your waist is a bit thicker, no matter what it is you're doing. And obviously there, if you're an endomorph, that's the hardest, you're in the hardest position to lose weight just because your body responds so easily to any fat or carbs or sugar that you put into your body. I'm in between an endomorph and a mesomorph because if I'm not careful and I'm just eating a whole bunch of crap, I'm definitely going to gain weight. But when I'm watching what I'm eating and when I'm, you know, maintaining a healthy diet or a healthy lifestyle, I have that the triangular shape, which is sort of what distinguishes the mesomorph from the endomorph and the ectomorph. The mesomorph is someone who has a triangular shape, broader shoulders, narrower tapered torso and waist. And, you know, you look as a dude, you look great in a suit. I guess as a, you know, it feels good to be in that place, but, you know, as you mentioned about like figuring out what worked best for me, I couldn't go keto just because I have to eat carbs. I get really, really hungry. if I don't eat any carbs at all. I've tried carb cycling before, which means you have high carb days maybe once or twice a week, and then every other day is a very low carb day, high fat. And that worked for a time, but again, it wasn't sustainable. There's no way I could go back to that. But yeah, if I'm able to stay on my program, like my meal program, and be consistent, I'm definitely a mesomorph, but I am in between mesomorph and endomorph, because if I'm not careful, I definitely will gain weight. Not in a good way, not like muscle or anything.
Oh yeah. No, I can get fat. No, I get fat real easily. Real easily.
Yeah.
Because of that,
I don't think that's necessarily bad. I do think that there are, you know, like my dad,
you know what I mean? We don't need like multiple layers of fat to protect us from winter.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, I think there are a lot of people that think they're healthy because they're skinny. And I think if your body responds to what you're eating and you're not really able to hide from the fact that you're unhealthy, it sort of makes it easier to identify, you know, where your problem spots are and what you need to do to fix it. So I know that if I'm not eating healthy, I'm going to see it in my body. I'm going to see it in the mirror. You know, for other people, maybe that's not the case. They think just because they're not gaining weight, then they're healthy. And that's not necessarily the case.
I agree with you. Okay, Syed, I'll agree with you. I'll give you that there. Personally, I was always envious of those skinny people personally, just because it said like, I was always a bigger guy myself too. So I always thought that was like the proper way, you know, it's supposed to look. So yeah, just like, you know me, like, so growing up I was always a bigger kid, not like obese or anything, but definitely had like a little gut and was bigger than more often than not. And I always just thought it would be impossible for me to get skinny, get a six pack or anything like that. But then, yeah, as I progressed through my career, you know, went to USF, I learned, you know, about like other foods and how to cook really. And then in medical school, I really learned a lot more about nutrition, understanding the difference between carbs, proteins, fats, how our body metabolizes them, and how, you know what I mean? Like, just learning a lot just really changed things for me. And I would say that as far as the keto diet, I can't do keto myself. I just get too hungry, man. Like, I just get too hungry. And when I do get too hungry, I want carbs like literally like a fat kid loves cake. Like, I want that cake. Yeah. And the one thing that I'll say that I've been trying to do more that's worked for me is, which is going to be our topic of discussion, guys, a plant-based diet, which was inspired to me not only through but one of my friends. He graduated Emory Law School, Will Hill, and he's the one who made the complete switch. So I was like, Will, I'm not going to lie. I'm sort of afraid that I'm going to be living a life of eating nasty plant products that have about as much taste as toothpaste, you know what I mean? But I gave him a chance, and like, he showed me some of the stuff, and along with him, like a couple of my Indian classmates and co-residents, they also vegetarian, so I've tried some Indian plant-based stuff too, and there's some really good options out there. I was gonna be excited. I said I love bacon, man, and there's one last thing of meat that I'm gonna give up last. It will be bacon. It's too delicious, but it's gotten me going in the right direction, you know what I mean? So I would say around 80% of my diet is plant-based. I'll maybe eat like one meat thing once every day or every other day. You know what I mean? As far as like a meal goes. So as far as the plant-based diet goes, dude, have you tried a plant-based, or have you incorporated that into your lifestyle at all?
Well, my first year of law school, I tried to be vegan. I went vegan for a month, and I wasn't able to stick with it just because I hate tofu. And the other challenge I have is that my body – I can't eat a whole bunch of carbs and fats, which is
the question. They say if you put barbecue sauce or sauce on tofu, it makes it better. Did you think it made a difference? I thought it was still nasty.
Yeah, I was trying a whole bunch of stuff. I was, you know, got all these different recipes. I really love Asian food, Chinese and Japanese food specifically. And I was trying all sorts of Chinese and Japanese like type of recipes and styles. And they didn't do anything for me. The other challenge I have is that I, you know, work out pretty consistently. So I eat a lot and I get real hungry. And the foods I had to eat to try to stay full and to try to get close to my necessary protein consumption for every day. And especially since I don't use any protein supplements, which most athletes and bodybuilders, physique competitors that are plant-based while also competing, they use a protein supplement just because plant-based is a lower protein diet. and I don't do that. So it was, it just became really challenging, almost impossible for me to try to be plant-based and not go overboard with the carbs and the fats. But one byproduct of that is that I don't drink any dairy anymore. I just don't have a, I don't really like the taste of dairy since I tried to be vegan, which is weird. But yeah, that's what came from that.
Okay. Not even chocolate milk?
No, I used to love chocolate milk. My mom gets eggnog every time I go home for Christmas because I used to love eggnog and I just can't drink it anymore.
Dang. All right, man. All right.
Ice cream. I was never like a huge ice cream fan, but now I can't eat ice cream at all.
Okay. Okay. And if any of you guys have any similar stories when you tried to go vegan or any diet changes, just feel free to message me on Quora. Again, I'm Dr. Christian Bramwell. Or just send me a message on healthd.com. Remember, guys, we're teaching you how to be happy and healthy. All right, Sai. So,
and
so,
healthy is spelled healthdy.com, right?
Healthdy.com.
Okay.
Yep. Got a cute little apple as a logo. I promise. Cutest apple you've ever seen in your life. All right. So let's talk about some plant-based diet. So first thing, just to introduce a brief reintroduction. So we're talking about a plant-based diet on Doctor's Order podcast with Dr. Bramwell and Saeed. So right now we're just talking about how, the increasing popularities of diets like keto, and now we're specifically about plant-based on its ability to heal. And this has been a huge topic in medicine as well, too, because a lot of my patients have been asking me about plant-based diet, vegan's diet, have I done it, how's it worked, all that good stuff like that. Now, when it comes to me, Saeed, when it comes to doctors, the one thing we need to have is peer-reviewed articles or some kind of peer-reviewed type of article or documentation, which tells us it's been legitimately looked at. You know what I mean? I'm not coming from – we can't go with anything from, TMZ or anything else like that. So I found – so I pulled up an article, and I'm looking at specifically – one disease. So let me ask you this, Saeed. If there was one disease that you could correlate to someone's health, like, all right, chances are the more unhealthy you are, you're going to have this disease. Is there any disease you can think of?
High blood pressure and cholesterol?
I'll give you a choice. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, or heart disease.
I guess heart disease then. That sounds like the number one. Am I close?
That is the worst. I would say for my measure would be diabetes. Just because diabetes is pretty much, I would say, an all-encompassing factor of a metabolic syndrome of you have a bigger weight or bigger waistline, you're obese, you live a more sedentary lifestyle, and you're more likely to have high blood pressure and heart disease. So I consider type 2 diabetes specifically. Type 1, it's sort of given to you. It's no really – you can't get it. But type 2 diabetes you can get, but you can also reverse. And that's why I like it as a marker of someone's health, because if you know the worse health – the worse you are, the worse diabetes is going to be. The better health you are, the diabetes should get better and eventually go away. You see what I'm saying?
Well, what do you mean you can get it? Because you said about type 1 you can't get it, but are you saying like you can't eat your way to it?
You're right. So for type 1, usually it's like, it's sort of like an autoimmune / genetic component where it's like your pancreas itself is the problem. Well, in type 2, it's just you're eating so much or your blood sugar is built up to a point where your pancreas cannot release enough insulin to keep up with that demand. But as you lose the weight, your pancreas can keep up and then the diabetes is reversed. With type 1, the pancreas is already toast. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, yeah, type 2 diabetes is the one this study looks up as far of a correlation between a plant-based diet and improvement of this one marker of diabetes called hemoglobin A1C. So, let me ask you this, side. So, in general, like, how do you think it went? They took a bunch of randomized control trials and did, like, a whole meta-analysis. So, a meta-analysis, they took a bunch of different studies and they analyzed them all together. And what do you think the overall findings were? Like, do you think people did better, worse, or about the same with this plant-based diet? Let's start off with the first findings. As far as quality of life, psychological, and social well-being, you think they did better, worse, about the same?
Probably better.
They did. Apparently, and they used and said the math is good. As I said, this is some Dr. Nerd talk right now. When p equals less than 0.05, it's statistically significant. That's as far as I'm going to go. I promise you guys, I'm not going to bore you too much, but this is some significant data, which they said depression levels have dropped and changes in neuropathy and pain signals were improved in the plant group compared to the control group.
So when you're looking at that sort of stuff, how do you present that to patients, right? Because I mean, that stuff makes sense as a medical professional, but how do you convey some of that stuff to someone like me who's not a medical professional?
Oh, you tell me you don't understand a basic statistical analysis of a bimodal distribution curve?
Yeah, I mean, I understood statistical, but that was about it.
I got you. Now, that's the thing. That's the trouble part, because a lot of this medical jargon is, like, you know, very troublesome and it's just complicated. You know what I mean? It's hard to get it explained to you straight up. So that's why I said I want to have, like, mediums to better explain this stuff to people. So, again, guys, find me on Quora. Find me on healthdy.com, healthdy.com, so I can help you out with any questions. But, yes, getting back to what you're – so maybe what you're saying, to explain this to patients, so first of all, I'll just take – so first of all, I ask this. So how do you – how much do you know about whatever they're asking? You know what I mean? So for instance, when it comes to like, say, hey, I want to ask if this plant-based diet is worth it, I'll ask them, all right, how much do you know about a plant-based diet or have experience with it? And they'll be usually go, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard about it, blah, blah, blah. I've had a friend who's done it, blah, blah, blah. But I don't want to, you know, just start it without talking to you first. I'm like, okay. So from what I've read, and it said, like, I just tell them again, I read, you know, peer-reviewed sources. These are looked at by actual scientists and reviewed by a scientific method, which has statistical tests that must be proven correct in order for me to say this. And I'll just say, so according to the latest scientific evidence, people who were in a plant-based diet group compared to a regular group did much better in terms of depression, blah, 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 blah. But specifically in this study, depression, pain improved, and the marker of diabetes type 2, which is called the hemoglobin A1C, it was reduced in the control group as well too. So I'll tell them, like, hey, if you have diabetes, the people who are on the plant-based diet in this study had their hemoglobin dropped when they did this diet. It's something to think of, too. Would that be something you're open to? And I always throw the ball back in their court. I always see how much they know. Then I always tell them my evidence for what I'm suggesting. And then I always get the, you know, always, like, you know, get a little exchange. And then I throw the information back in their court. Put it, and just to see where they're at with that. You know what I mean?
What does hemoglobin mean exactly? Like, what does that refer to? You said that's a marker of diabetes. Is that like a sugar thing?
It is. So pretty much it's a 3-month average of how high your sugars have been. So we take it every 3 months. So pretty much that's a good way to keep track of the disease. So, you know, so of course someone's like, yeah, doc, I did great. All I'm doing is eating baked chicken and asparagus and salad and drinking water all day, and I'm running 2 miles a day. I'm like, okay, well, your hemoglobin's A1C is up from 8 to 10. Well, you're a liar, but it's okay, my friend. We'll work on this. You know what I mean? So it's like a good way to keep a marker and just a 3-month average of your sugars.
Speaking of people lying about fitness, I knew a personal trainer who told me that I met a guy at a gym once, and he was a bigger dude, and he told me that he had to stop drinking water because water was making him fat.
Did you burst out laughing in his face, or did you keep your cool?
No, I mean, I usually keep my thoughts to myself in that moment. I mean, so obviously you being a medical professional as a doctor, me being someone who just works out a lot, obviously you get more deep questions than I do. You're dealing with your patients and stuff, but just like bumping into people at a gym or whatever, you hear some weird stuff from time to time. Like when you were talking about steroids and stuff, I remember like the first time somebody offered me HGH.
Was it the shady dude in like the back of the locker room?
No, it was just like a, No, so HGH is a little different than steroid. That doesn't necessarily, the side effects of HGH are slightly different. I think it does, like Barry Bonds, I think, used HGH, and it makes, like you talked about, steroids can make your heart bigger. HGH makes all of you bigger. Like your head gets bigger, everything like that. So he was just like a normal guy, but he was telling me about, but he wanted to be a bodybuilder. He was telling me he was getting on HGH. And then he was like, do you want my doctor's information? Who's going to prescribe me HGH? I was like, nah, I'm cool. I'm good. I don't need HGH.
What a nice guy, man. He's trying to share the gains. You got to appreciate one of the bros trying to share the gains.
I guess so. I've never heard his name come up. So I play for, I don't know if you know who Dallas McCarver is.
I do not. You can explain that though.
He's a bodybuilder who I played football with in college. But he had he was basically on the rise, and he was sort of the next big thing in bodybuilding. He unfortunately passed away early, but I heard his name and I knew what was going on with his career just because he was doing so well. The guy that was on HGH, so I have not heard a thing about him. I have no idea where that dude is in the world. So obviously the HGH did not help.
Okay. Either he's done, I'd like to think either he's done very, very well for himself and he's, partying with European models on the French Riviera, or he might have just moved back with his parents and with a failed bodybuilding career. Hopefully something between the two, but maybe those are the two things. Maybe those are the two things that most likely could have happened to him. Best case, worst case scenario.
I'm going to go out on a limb and assume the HGH was not helpful. For those who don't know what HGH is, it stands for human growth hormone, which is kind of like a super steroid.
Yep, pretty much. Puberty, we get hit with that to help us grow, but outside of puberty, it just makes you a lot bigger, meaner. It, as I said, it just doesn't do good things for a person.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to plant-based diet. So yeah, man. So from this huge study done, and this study was done by the BMJ. So the BMJ, they are what's called the, I forgot what it's called. Let me look it up real quick. Okay, they're a journal. So they're the BMJ Evidence-Based Medicine Journal. So they're the journal that produced this, that did this little meta-analysis. And yeah, according to this, it shows that pretty much people got healthier with the plant-based diet compared to the to the non-plant-based diet in terms of A1C and a lot of measurable factors. So that seems pretty good. So the results on the plant-based diet seem pretty good to me. Of course, I'll do other reviews, or if any of you guys have any other articles or references you want me to take a look at, always free to send them to me. Said find me on my many social media platforms, which I'm going to link below. Make sure we got a link to that site. I got to make sure I find out how to link this stuff.
I got you.
Yep. And then besides that, let's talk into this. Have you heard of the next? So about the next thing in plant-based food, have you heard of the Impossible Burger?
I think so. Can you just explain it a bit? Make sure I actually know what I'm talking about, but I think I have.
I got you. I'll keep you honest, brother. So the Impossible Burger is made by this company called Impossible Foods out in Silicon Valley in California. So on April 1st, they sort of did April Fool's Day, but not really April Fool's Day thing with Burger King, where on April 1st, they came up with their Impossible Whopper, which is a burger, looks just like the Whopper, tastes like the Whopper, but instead of a meat patty, you have their 80-20 mixture of plant-based compounds. The 80% of it is like soy, beans, and the 20% of it is like coconut fat, I believe, to keep, the firmness and the fatty content of it. So April 1st, they debuted these among a few Burger Kings in the St. Louis area, I believe. And pretty much from the reviews I've seen, I said I don't feel like going to St. Louis to get this burger or ordering out or anything like that. But from what I've seen, they said it is unremarkable in that it tastes just like a Whopper, yet it looks just like the regular Whopper that they've been serving for years. So as I said, an April Fool's joke, hey, April Fool's, this is not a Whopper, but this might be the new Whopper. So I think that was like a sort of a funny, like, you know, social comment on, like, do you think like this whole plant-based trend is going to ultimately change the way that people eat fast food now? Because with this plant-based diet, the benefits are obvious that, and I believe in these total, that's why I made the lifestyle changes myself and did the research. I think a plant-based diet for a majority part of your diet can lead to overall better health. Now, do you think that it's going to be, now, do you think that's something that it's going to be still an underground movement in the short term? Or do you feel like this is like a larger thing where we're going to see maybe, you know, plant-based fast food change, like, you know, as big as, maybe not as big as McDonald's, but, you know, as big as like, what's a medium size, Arby's Jr. or, you know what I mean? Like Carl's Jr., something like that. Do you think that there is enough demand to meet that plant-based revolution in the food realm?
I mean, I think so. I know in Europe is, I think the U.S. is like the number one consumer of meat, and it's in particular beef.
Yep.
I know, and Europe has, what's up?
Fast food too. Just a question. Here's a little question beside. How much do you think U.S., so overall, the fast food industry is about a $570 billion industry. How much of it do you think is from the U.S. alone?
40%?
70 billion. How much do you think?
40% of it? So that's what, so, like,
yeah, so about 300 billion. Yeah, about a little bit less than 300 billion.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, it's about, I would say about 40%, about 40 to 30%. It's 200 billion.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, so that makes sense. I mean, we're, Americans work, I don't necessarily want to say we work harder than everyone else, but I think our work demands are different, right? Like the people who are, mm-hmm. you know, in different places in different parts of the world, if you're working 60 or 70 hours a week, there's not as much opportunity for you to buy junk food, buy fast food like we have in America. So we have that combination of the average person working 40, 50 or 60 hours a week. Plus we also make it available with a McDonald's on every corner for you to just stop and pick up a Big Mac or something instead of going home and making food.
We do. We do. So keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was just going to make another point, but I'm gonna let you go before then. But yeah, you were saying,
oh, no, I was just, you were asking me if I thought that there was enough plant-based resources in regards to fast food to be able to either create or fuel the fast food and vegan or plant-based revolution. And I mean, I'm not really sure. I think we're seeing more and more people get interested in vegetarian and plant-based diets. Even, you know, the pescatarian diet is gaining popularity. And as those healthier or alternative diets or lifestyles become more prominent, I do think these fast food restaurants are going to try to find a way to cater to them as much as they can. Not necessarily because it's healthier. And I don't know if it'll necessarily make anyone healthier, you know, for Burger King to have a plant-based burger. But, you know, it'll be an option, just like McDonald's does breakfast 24/7, or how they, you know, provide salads as a, you know, you can get a whatever Tuscan chicken salad sandwich or whatever at any one of these restaurants. And it's,
yeah, I'll pass on that. I'll pass on the McDonald's Tuscan chicken.
Well, I mean, there are people that are buying them. And that's the thing, is that as long as these alternative diets grow in popularity, these companies are going to see a way to make money off of it. And it very well, like as you talked about in that research article, where plant-based diets can lower your risk of diabetes or reduce those, I guess, like diabetic triggers or catalysts within the body. I don't necessarily know if fast food restaurants pushing plant-based meals is necessarily going to make anybody healthier. But, I mean, it's not like it's going to be any worse than a Big Mac, right?
Oh, can be worse. If it was worse, I think America is definitely falling off the cliff. But let me ask you this: would you buy it? It costs about this. So this Impossible Whopper, from what I've seen, costs about like about a little bit more than a buck than your regular Whopper. Would you get it? Like I said, like if push came to shove, would you buy it, or would you just go with what you know? I'm thinking I would only buy it if I had like a coupon or like some sort of incentive. You know what I mean? I think if I'm going to Burger King, I'm going with not the intention of trying to eat like a wholesome plant-based food. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think about that? Like,
yeah, I don't eat fast food at all. It makes my stomach hurt. So I, from that perspective, I probably wouldn't. I also don't eat red meat, so I don't really have a, I don't really care about burgers. Like, I've never really been a big burger person, but even that, but especially now, I'm not, I definitely don't, I'm not big on burgers. And then I also kind of have a, I'm not against plant-based, but I don't know if I am a fan or a supporter of plant-based substitutes for regular stuff. You know, like the almond milk or the soy milk as opposed to regular milk. Mm-hmm. Or the Impossible Burger as opposed to a regular burger. I think I'm just a weirdo. So I'll say for me, like, I probably wouldn't be eating it. But I do know a lot of people that enjoy getting a plant-based alternative once in a while just because it's lighter, mm-hmm. it's leaner, and it's just something – it's something different that doesn't make you feel weighed down and uncomfortable. And sometimes if you're eating like this big greasy cheeseburger, it's not like you're going to be able to power through the rest of your day afterwards. So maybe that's one of the big things that you can do with the Impossible Burger is that you're not going to feel weighed down after you eat an Impossible Burger like you would if, you know, you ate a double Whopper or something with cheese.
Yeah, I think that should be a good test. Like for me, like one time, like I always remember, I ate Taco Bell and then had football practice, JV football practice. I thought I was going to die. Like, I thought I was literally going to die on the field and everyone was going to run over.
I never knew you did that.
Yeah, it was just one time, though. I was, like, hungry. You got some Taco Bell around the corner, came back, had practice, and I was like, oh, gosh. I nearly died, man. That was the worst decision. So I think what you said is, like, eat it and then try to do something athletic. You know what I mean? I think that could be a good test. But from my experience with some plant-based food, I've had some good plant-based food and some bad ones. Like, I would say the best plant-based food I had were some crab cakes. They tasted really like the real thing, best thing. But I would say, like, the plant-based burgers I've had so far have been disappointing, to say the least. So I would try the Impossible Burger if someone gave me an incentive, because I'm a burger guy myself. I do appreciate a good piece of burger or steak, but yeah, as I said, like, some plant-based options are more than others, and I'm not sure if people are going to go to fast food with the expectation of eating, you know, something, you know, healthy like that. You know what I mean? So I still think, you know, that boom is maybe like a little bit out. I still think, you know, people are, I still think it's still, for the most part, underground, with a lot more room for it to grow. I think in the next 15 years it could take off, but for right now, I'm not sure if enough people would be all about the plant-based diet for the regular fast food options. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it depends. So I think it would depend on how it's presented. I think, like, for the people that I know that I guess sort of dabble with a plant-based diet or add plant-based components to their diet but are still, I guess, mostly traditional, have a traditional diet. I think if it's presented as just a meat alternative, that's not necessarily the same as presenting it as here are Burger King's entire plant-based menu lineup or whatever. Uh-huh. So I think if it's one of those things that's just an alternative, something different, you know, maybe just something that's a little bit lighter to that you can have for lunch in the middle of the day. You know, maybe some, there are probably people who go and pick up a salad if there's just, they're not big fans of fast food. They're not big fans of junk food, but they're in a pinch. They're in a bind. They, you know, went to work and forgot to pack their lunch. So they need something, you know, maybe that's an option in those situations, because there are a lot of people like that who go to McDonald's and Burger King in a pinch or just looking for something quick, 'cause they don't have the time to get something that, you know, they would prefer to have something else, but that's all they can get is McDonald's or Burger King. So maybe that's an option for them. But I just generally, I mean, I think as you see more and more people going to those diets, I think there's going to be more and more interest from those companies to try to make money off of them.
That is true. And you're right. Like, there is a step. Like, did you hear about what Purdue just did?
No. Purdue, the university, or Purdue, the chicken company?
Oh, no. Purdue, the chicken company.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty much with their, so right now they are making some big moves. So now they're about to start, about a few days ago, they're about to start selling some plant-based chicken nuggets in their stores. I mean, in stores. So that's a big move for them. Like that, they've never done anything like this before. And now there are rumors about KFC and Tyson offering to do the same thing, to give like a new vegan option. So as I said, it is changing right now. But I feel like this is just like the main, this is like the early things. The way I, the reason I say it's 15 years ahead, I feel like you have like a lot of underground people backing it. But in all honesty, it doesn't taste that good as compared to the regular competition. And here in America, we love tasty food. You know what I mean? Beers, chicken wings. We love things that are tasty. And until these foods become a little bit tastier, I don't see the mainstream appeal coming too far. You know what I mean? Because for me personally, taste was like one of the biggest things that's keeping me fully from committing to the plant-based diet. You know what I mean?
Well, I think again, that, but I think that's more of the subjective thing though. So I don't know how everybody feels about it. Like the, from what I've heard about the Impossible Burger, and I think I have heard people talk about it, is that it does taste like the real thing. So I mean, as you get, and I mean, the technology that is available to be utilized, I mean, you, we remember when like, what is it, Star Burger or Veggie Burger or whatever it was, like was basically just like a cardboard, like a half inch piece of cardboard that looked like a burger. And, you know, now you're getting to the Impossible Burger where you got people on the street and it's fooling them into thinking it's like a regular beef burger. So, I mean, these things may end up getting to the point where they, you can't tell the difference between meat and plant-based. But I think right now there do seem to be a couple of options. I don't know what they are, but I do know some people that do enjoy plant-based foods, like their freezer section. You know, they go to the freezer section for some of those plant-based items, and they're happy with what they have. So I think that it does have the option now, or the opportunity now, to be a tasty option for some people.
I agree for some people, but I still don't believe most people yet. I think it still needs some time. We got to put some seasoning on these plant-based patties. You know what I mean? So,
well, I hope you're seasoning your like food anyway.
I'm funny. I'm a funny man. all right, but anyways, one more question. Like, another thought, because this is another question of core relating to this. Would you encourage, say, I know you don't have any kids, right? Or no kids, right? Nothing changed since I talked to you last time?
No, I don't have a new kid that popped up in a week.
So anyways, would you enforce like a plant-based or a keto diet on your kids? Or would you, you know, just to try and encourage good nutrition in your kids? Or would you let them, you know, just have them free range and just sort of, you know, them do whatever they want, but only intervene when necessary?
Not a plant-based or keto, but I have thought about, because generally, so the way I eat, I keep kosher, which for those who don't know, kosher is it's the Jewish dietary restriction, preventing people, Jewish people, from eating pork, shellfish, cheeseburgers, because it prevents you from eating anything that is, I guess, soaked in the mother's milk or something. Essentially, you can't put a slice of cheese on a beef burger because they're both cow or come from a cow. So, I mean, I would probably enforce that in my home with my kids. Like, they would eat kosher like I do, but, you know, we jerk pork and all sorts of stuff like that. You know, pepper shrimp, we're Jamaican, we eat all sorts of stuff. So if they had it, I wouldn't necessarily be mad, but I don't think I would be able to budge on the unprocessed foods. And that's something that's a big part of my diet, is staying away from foods that are heavily processed, staying away from foods out of a box or a bag. I think I would probably be pretty strict in enforcing that with my kids. So for someone who was plant-based and is thinking about enforcing it with their kids, I wouldn't be able to talk them out of that, because that would make sense to me.
Okay. I got you. Yeah, that makes – so for me personally, I would say like I would put the foods in front of my kids that I think they would eat. Like that – well, I'll say not think they would eat. I'll put the foods that I would want them to eat. But they're like, oh, daddy, cookie. I'll be like, yeah, that's a cookie. I guess I can get you one or two of those. Only if you eat this. You know what I mean? So a little bit of coercion for my kids.
Yeah, I think I would probably, I mean, and it's a hard thing because obviously kids are around other kids. So I mean, if you're at school and somebody has like Oreos or whatever, it's not like you can't expect your kid to not be interested. But I don't know, I'm really paranoid about the heavily processed foods with the preservatives and the long list of ingredients and all that sort of stuff. And I would definitely try to keep that away from my kids as much as possible, you know, whenever I end up having children.
Okay. And also for the audience listening out there, if y'all have kids and have any recommendations or experience on what you would feed your kids, or if you try and steer your kids to a vegetarian, vegan, keto, whatever lifestyle, just say a comment, leave me a message so I can check, so I can get back with you. All right, guys. Thank you for listening.
This has been Being Healthy with Dr. Chris Bramwell. Remember, listening to Being Healthy in no way creates a doctor-patient relationship. The opinions provided should not be viewed as medical advice, and remember, please consult with your doctor before making any changes to your diet or habits. Thanks again for listening, guys.